Mississippi America Radio Network News, I'm Darren Copeland. Death toll in a deadly Iraq car bombing is now up to 75. Among those killed was a leading Shiite Muslim ayatollah who wielded political power. Ayatollah Mohammed Bakir al-Hakim had made it a policy not to interfere with the American-led war in Iraq. He had authorized his brother to serve on the governing council established by the U.S. last month. Washington saw the ayatollah as a stabilizing influence in central Iraq. The car bomb exploded just after Friday prayer services. Earlier today, near the town of Bakuba in the so-called Sunni Triangle, one American soldier was killed and three others wounded when their convoy came under guerrilla attack. A panel of judges meeting today in San Jose could order a delay in the October 7th California gubernatorial recall election. The appeals panel is deciding whether the hastily called election violates the 1965 Voting Rights Act. The law was designed to make sure that last-minute changes don't confuse voters. Also at issue is whether minority voting rights will be harmed if fewer polling places are available. The judges could decide to delay the election until March.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Yale freshmen arriving on campus for the first time today were greeted by a chaotic scene of labor unrest. Hundreds of striking Yale workers had taken over College Street in front of the entrance to the freshman residence, making life difficult for those trying to move in. Things came to a head when the workers began using civil disobedience, blocking key intersections until being arrested. Local 35 President Bob Proto spoke as he was being led to the paddy wagon in handcuffs.
It's for the cause. It is for a great cause. It's for people's pensions, people's dignity, and it is terrible that a place like Yale that we have to struggle for any kind of advancements we make in our quality of life.
Dozens of strikers were arrested and charged with disorderly conduct. This is the third day of the strike by Yale clerical, maintenance, and food service workers who are seeking improved wages, pensions, and job security.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Toe, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
A University of Massachusetts Amherst professor wants to grow 25 pounds of high-potency marijuana for medical purposes. Lyle Craker, who's director of the school's medicinal plant program, wants to find out if the plant is capable of treating symptoms related to AIDS, glaucoma, and multiple sclerosis. He also wants to find out if it eliminates nausea associated with chemotherapy. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration and the Food and Drug Administration must approve the proposal. The only legal grower of pot for medical research in the country is the University of Mississippi. Stocks finished the week with a higher trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 42 points to 94.16. The S&P 500 added 5 points to 10.08. The Nasdaq jumped 10 points to 18.11. The markets were given a lift by a positive manufacturing report from the Midwest. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News. We'll be right back.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, wait a minute. Stop the music. Wait a minute. Hey, this is Friday. We're supposed to have a different show theme on Friday. Let's back up. Ready? Go!
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
There. Now, doesn't that feel better? Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thanks for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces the phone number is 800-TALK-YES. The email address, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We will be not here on Labor Day Monday. They're going to rebroadcast a program from the home office in Detroit. We have asked for the Dennis Kucinich interview to be rebroadcast. I have no idea what will really be rebroadcast. That's the one we requested. So Monday we will not be here. Christine Owens, Public Policy Director of the AFL-CIO, joins us in a few minutes, right after the break at the bottom of the hour, to discuss Too Stupid to Be President's horrible record on labor issues and obvious hatred of working Americans. And that's the only guest we have tonight. As you know, we don't do guests on this program. Very, very seldom. The big news today, of course, is the horror in Iraq, the horror that continues. The car bomb blows up outside the Imam Ali Mosque in Najaf, Iraq, one of the most, if not the most, sacred or holy site in the Muslim faith in Iraq. Death toll, I understand now, has been placed at around 125, 140-plus wounded. An awful lot of the dead are women and children because they were outside the mosque when the bomb went off trying to participate in their holy day prayers. The men, of course, inside. Terrible, terrible. Early Saturday morning, which it is there now, according to CNN, people were still digging through the wreckage. in front of the mosque looking for bodies. Can it get in, can it get any worse in Iraq? I can't believe what's going on there. Nobody knows who, what, when, how. The experts around the globe are saying the situation in Iraq is out of control, and it can only get worse. We've been here. We've done this. It was called Vietnam. We have psychopaths leading this country, pushing us deeper and deeper and deeper into a situation in Iraq that is only going to result in more death and destruction and chaos, explosions. It's just so damn sad because it was so damned unnecessary. Totally unnecessary for this to happen. All of it. Any of it. But the Bush crime family will have their oil reserves. They will have their bases in the Middle East. And if the rest of the world doesn't like it, the rest of the world can go straight to hell, which is where the Bush crime family seems intent on taking all of us. So there's not too much to discuss about the situation in Iraq. It's going to be mega death event after mega death event. Jordanian embassy, UN build, UN a structure, UN a rented structure, mosque. It's just going to continue. It's not going to stop. It will not stop. There are not enough Americans in uniform to stop it. The Bush crime family can send a million soldiers to Iraq, and it will not stop. I know that. You know that. Meanwhile, the dead American, the number of dead Americans continues to go up. The number of wounded Americans that nobody on television wants to talk about. None of these worthless, useless cable networks, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, none of them will talk about the thousands upon thousands of Americans who have been wounded there. So let us move on. There is, why? Because there's nothing we can do about it. We do not have a government responsive to the people. And the people are dumber than dog droppings in this country. What did I see on MSNBC tonight? Another survey. 59% of Americans support the Bush policies in Iraq. It's just insane. And it depresses me and makes me want to cry and kill and break things all at the same time if I focus too much on what this administration is doing, not just in Iraq, but anything it touches turns to crap. Speaking of the Republican Party, crap. Who sent this to me? This is so strange. Heather in Attleboro, Massachusetts, sent this to me. The Republican Party, God, is using call centers in India, in two towns in India, Gurgaon, if I'm saying it right, and Noida in India, to raise funds for itself and its chieftain, George W. Bush. That's how it is published in an Indian newspaper called The Inquirer. Heather sent me the link. I went to the link, and there it is. The Republican. Now, I want you to listen to this, because at the very end of this very brief, just five or six sentence little thing here, it's a very interesting statement. Here's what it says. The Republican Party is using call centers in Gurgaon and Noida in India to raise funds for itself and for its chieftain, George W. Bush. Young people at the call centers are helping robots to phone American citizens to enlist their support and money for the political party, with plans to extend the scheme if they whip up enough donations. There's a high degree of automation involved in the process, according to Indian newspaper The Business Standard, which says that HCL eServe is handling the business for the Republican Party. The magazine claims that, quote, human intervention, close quote, is limited because of an integrated voice recording technology, which picks up on clues from people to pick up the phone back in the United States. We do hope and trust here at the Inquirer that the irony of underpaid people in India helping robots to call possibly out-of-work Americans because of a widespread policy of corporate outsourcing is not lost on our readers. Okay, so it's an awkward sentence, but what they're saying, I know I don't have to explain it. The irony of underpaid people in India calling out-of-work Americans to support a thug that caused the people in America to be out of work, and a political party, the Republicans, that takes even telemarketing away from American workers and underpays Indian workers in order to squeeze money out of Americans. This is just insane. I mean, it's just crazy. The call centers now for the Republican Party in India. We do hope and trust here at the Inquirer that the irony of underpaid people in India helping robots to call possibly out-of-work Americans because of a widespread policy of corporate outsourcing is not lost on our readers. Jesus. The Republican Party, oh my God, is this not a party of trolls, of creatures with lots of body hair that live under bridges and have sagging lower lips and huge warts on their faces and misshapen ears and one eye that's closed shut with pus and crust and the other one just kind of half open? Isn't that the Republican Party? Dear God. King David is calling from, he's our Woodstock Nation Bureau Chief. Hey, David.
Hey, hello. I may be kind of housebound at the moment, but I would do whatever I could to go see Redneck Stonehenge.
Yeah, that was so funny last night. That was so funny. That was Jerky, or two nights ago, Jerky, who contributes to this program and listens to this program. When I opened that email, there it was, I just thought, now that's funny. That's something that...
I might even construct it in my backyard.
It would be fun. That's something... Who wrote, You Might Be a Redneck If... Yeah, Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah, that's Foxworthy's bit, yeah.
That sounds like something Foxworthy would write. A Jerky ought to think of going to work for Foxworthy and just writing lines for him.
Well, actually, it sounds more like it's like something, you know, Bill Hicks taking a spoof on a Foxworthy bit.
You know, this weekend, since we have 3 days off here, I am going to get a Bill Hicks CD. I still haven't gotten one. But that's not why you called.
Yeah, Rant in E minor. That is the best.
Okay, Rant in E minor. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In any event, the ABC television affiliate in Oklahoma City, their website, they have a poll. You know, one of those, you
right.
know.
Where you click to answer a question?
Right.
Yeah.
One of those yes, no, undecided.
Yeah. Self-selecting.
And it's and the question is, should President George W. Bush be reelected, their wording, in 2004?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've had this on for a few days already. As of 7:35 p.m. Wednesday, they had a total of 12,304 votes. Yes was 5,073. No was 6,644.
Mm-hmm.
Undecided, 587, which breaks down to 41%, 54%, 5%.
Right.
As of 10 minutes ago... the yes was up to 59-10, 38%. The no was up to 86-93, 56%. Undecided, 874, 6%. Now, I know, this is unscientific as it can be.
Right.
But the fact that it's the Oklahoma City.
Yeah, that does add a little meaning to it.
You know, I don't think that there are going to be too many people from Tampa or Seattle or Detroit that are going to be logging on to the Oklahoma City ABC affiliates.
Hey, hold on a second. Let me put you on hold a second, David. We'll come right back. Quick break here. Stay with us.
Hey, Mom. here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello? Hello?
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour, we're talking with King David, Woodstock Nation Bureau Chief. Now, where were we? You're talking about this poll on Oklahoma City NBC affiliate.
ABC, actually.
ABC affiliate. Yeah, I would think nobody but viewers in the ABC or the Oklahoma City market would be responding. Interesting. But you know what's really interesting about that poll, David, is the 800 undecided. I would just love, anytime I meet somebody who's undecided and about anything and realize that they're undecided, I just, you know, like try to put as much space between them and me as possible.
Right.
I hate indecision, don't you?
Last time I checked, I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think people should be killed for this or that? Well, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have an opinion.
Yeah. Well, by the way, considering indecision, there's also something that I got here. Guess who is beginning to doubt the Iraqi war? Toby Keith.
Oh, my goodness. The country star who just loves to beat up on the Dixie Chicks?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's he said? What's he done?
The quote that I have in front of me was, okay, here's how it, this is verbatim. I was for Afghanistan 100%. We got struck and the Taliban needed to be exterminated. But this war here in Iraq, I didn't necessarily have it all worked out. It didn't work out for me. I know a tyrant is gone and all of that, but whether it was our duty to go do that, well, I haven't figured that out.
Oh, my goodness.
End of quote.
Oh, my goodness. Of course, he still displays his utter ignorance where it concerns Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to tell Toby Keith about the pipeline, the construction of which has now begun near the Caspian Sea area, and the plans to run it across Afghanistan. Somebody needs to sit these people down, these right-wingers, especially the right-wing entertainers. It seems that liberal or progressive entertainers understand the issues. They come out and make statements, and then media just, you know, right-wing media just storms at them, and you get these jackasses who put together counter concerts when the Dixie Chicks are playing. It's just crazy. And right-wing entertainers just don't get it. I, every Republican in this country, I've said it before, David, they're stupid, they're ignorant, they participate directly or indirectly in mass murder, they have no morals, they have no ethical center. It just goes on and on. And
well, bone sticks, stone dunces. Yeah.
You know, so, right,
by the way, have you noted, well you've mentioned it on the air,
yeah.
Even Merle Haggard is, you know, has, you know, said, you know, there's something fishy here.
Oh, the outlaws, the real outlaws, Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and people like that have said, what in the hell is this Bush doing?
So the only two left that I can see that aren't swerving from their attitudes are Charlie Daniels and Ted Nugent.
Yeah, well,
isn't that a nice duo to?
Yeah, Charlie Daniels did have a good song, the
Uneasy Rider.
The Devil Goes Down to Georgia, whatever.
Well, that was fairly good too.
Yeah, that was a good song. But Charlie Daniels has smoked way too much a reefer or hash or whatever. It has really, you know, just sodded his brain cells, and this is a result. You know, I'm all in favor of legalizing pot, but you can overdo anything, you know. I mean, and Charlie Daniels he's probably smoked about 80 or 90 acres of the stuff in his musical history, and it's starting to show. It just is, you know.
Well, here, try some of this, little Joe. Damn, this is good.
Probably just a little less hash than Arnold Schwarzenegger at about the same time.
Yeah, what about that interview that he had with We Magazine? You know, oh, my God. Hey, there's the music. King David, good to hear from you. Hope you have a great weekend, pal.
Survive the weekend.
All right, sir. Take care.
Yep.
All right, folks, quick break here. When we come back, I think we will be joined by Christine Owens, Public Policy Director of the AFL-CIO. Stick around.
Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. For the second year in a row, the White House wants to slash annual pay increases for civilian employees of the federal government. In a letter to congressional leaders on Wednesday, George W. Bush cited a national emergency as his reason for limiting raises for 1.2 million government employees to just 2%, rather than the usual 4.1%.
Federal employees are working class people by and large, and that extra money in their pocket is something they really need to put food on the table and buy clothes for their kids to go back to school and pay their mortgages and their car payments and what have you.
Jackie Simon is public policy director for the American Federation of Government Employees, the largest union of federal workers. She's worried not only about Bush's proposal to roll back pay raises, but also his proposal to set aside $500 million for a pay-for-performance system.
He's trying to create this slush fund with $500 million in it that will allow political appointees to hand out additional raises and bonuses to anybody they think is doing a good job with the president's political agenda.
A similar bid last year to roll back government employee raises was defeated in Congress.
A Dutch supermarket and retail store conglomerate, already mired in a $1 billion accounting fraud scandal, is now in serious trouble in the Czech Republic. State labor inspectors there have discovered that the Royal Ahold Company, which does business in the Czech Republic with its Hypernova and Albert stores, kept two sets of books on its workforce. One showed all workers were paid their rightful amounts for the hours they worked, but the other showed a regular and ongoing refusal to pay anyone for overtime. The inspectors say Ahold is but the worst of what is a common violation estimated to affect 3 out of every 4 Czech workers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Let's meet all the pixie chicks who wear tonight huge rocks and sticks. So let's demolish their CDs with a bulldozer or whatever you please.
If this reminds you a little bit of bonfires in Berlin. Well, cowboy, that just goes to prove we can get you once again.
Doing talk radio right.
Let's meet all
from
the
left,
chicks.
It's Mike Malloy.
Let's just smash all their CDs with a bulldozer.
27 before the hour. We're at 800-TALK, yes, as you know. Christine Owens is the public policy director for the AFL-CIO. She joins us from Washington, D.C. Christine, thanks for taking time to chat with us tonight.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
You know, I've probably been doing radio for 16, 17 years, and every Labor Day I just feel, I don't know, except during several of the Clinton years, I just feel like, damn, you know, what happened to the working class, the working man or woman in this country? What happened to organized labor? Why are we facing just monumental job losses over the past 3 years? Just, you know, I have all these questions, like a 4-year-old who goes to grandma and says, "Grandma," not that you're my grandma, "Grandma, why are all these things happening?" So I you know, here we are once again, Monday's Labor Day. I think most of us who are on the progressive left understand that the labor movement is responsible, one way or another, for every single socially progressive idea that was ever incorporated into this country's way of living. And I don't know. We're in a bad period of time, aren't we, Chris?
Well, I think we are in many respects. I think when you talked about the job loss we've suffered in the last 3 years, you know, that hits on what is the number one concern for for unemployed workers and for workers with jobs. We've lost close to 3 million jobs since Bush took office. We've lost over 3 million private sector jobs. We've lost 2.5 million manufacturing jobs. You know, manufacturing employment is now down at its lowest level since 1958, which is really just astonishing. So there's a real worry about jobs, and for folks who have jobs, there's real concern about maintaining those jobs. There's also a concern, and it's unfortunately it's a really legitimate concern, about the open season on workers' rights that this administration has declared. I think probably immediately the most attack that most typifies that is the attack on overtime rights.
Right.
If the administration has its way, it will put through changes to the overtime rules that govern whether or not an employer can strip overtime protections from workers, changes that would have the effect of taking away overtime protection from 8 million workers. That's exactly the opposite direction that we ought to be going in. We ought to be going in a direction of actually strengthening overtime protections and making sure that all workers who are entitled to overtime get it. We certainly shouldn't be rolling back protections for millions.
You know, what is especially egregious, I think, about what the Bush administration wants to do about overtime is this idea now that is obviously endorsed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to reclassify people to take the service workers, to take people who are working for hourly wage, reclassify them. In much the same way as the fast food industry has done, you're no longer an hourly employee. You're now an assistant manager, which means I can work you for 70 hours and don't have to pay you for the amount of time. This corruption of language, this perversion of the rules that we have all worked with since the time of Franklin Roosevelt regarding getting paid for our labor, it's just astonishing that the Bush administration can get away with this and still have 52 or 53 or 55% support from the American public. That's the part that's I don't quite understand.
Well, I think I don't understand the popular rating for the president either. I do think on this issue that when people find out about it, they are outraged. The AFL-CIO polled maybe 2 or 3 years ago. We did a poll, a Labor Day poll, about workers' rights. And we asked workers, what do you think are the rights you have? What do you think are the most important rights workers have? And this was well before there was any kind of overtime battle that we anticipated even. Well, overtime rated as the number one right that workers felt they had and that it was important to preserve. Something like 90% of respondents said overtime is our most important right. And certainly we're finding that as we reach out to union members around the country and as other workers have an opportunity to hear about what the administration is doing with respect to the overtime rules, they're just outraged. You know, we've done a number of alerts, at what we call activist alerts, to a listserv that we maintain, and we generated in something like 3 or 4 weeks' time several hundred thousand faxes, letters, and emails to the White House and to members of Congress, which basically all said, don't take away my overtime pay. I think our challenge for all of us within the labor movement and progressives generally is just to get the message out about what this administration is trying to do to the core rights that you know, we've come to depend on, rely on, believe like they're almost constitutional rights because they are so fundamental in terms of how we believe workers ought to be treated.
So many of these, I guess I want to call them rules governing the workplace that have been in place for the past 70 years and built the greatest middle class in the history of humankind, I don't think that's hyperbole for me to say that, are now under assault. The very rules that built the country, that For example, the overtime pay, you know, 40 hours fine. If you go over 40 hours, time and a half, in some instances, even triple time if you work on holidays or what have you. But this attack by the Bush administration on the fundamental issues of fairness that have done nothing in the past 60 or 70 years in this country except to build the most powerful economic engine that I think, well, without a doubt, it's not what I think, it's what is fact, ever in the history of humankind. And the Bush administration seems hell-bent on dismantling it. And that's another thing I don't understand. But here's an interesting point. Right before you joined us tonight, we're talking about the Republican Party has outsourced to India its telemarketers who are calling probably unemployed Americans asking for donations for the Republican Party. And the newspaper in India that carried the story said, I hope the irony is not, or they hope the irony is not lost on the young Indians who are working for below average wages to phone solicit unemployed Americans so that the party chieftain, that was their word, George W. Bush, can raise more money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just manufacturing jobs. There are now white-collar jobs that are being exported.
Well, in fact, there's been a lot of news lately about the export of white-collar jobs.
Yes.
IBM a tape of a meeting of its board was leaked to the New York Times, and there was a long discussion about what its projections were about the numbers of jobs that the company ought to outsource and what the impact on revenues would be. We know that the analyses that have been done estimate that over the next several years, as many as 3 million white-collar jobs will be outsourced primarily to India but to other countries. But frankly, that figure strikes me as low because mm-hmm. certainly what we've seen in manufacturing is that, unfortunately, American companies are willing to go as far as they need to go in order to reach the lowest common denominator in terms of wages and benefits and mm-hmm. an exploitable group of workers. And that certainly is true in these white-collar jobs as well now, and so I wouldn't be surprised if we were faced with the prospect of many millions of jobs. And it really makes you wonder you've made this point several times, you know, are we going to have middle-class jobs in this country in 10 years?
Well, you know, I grew up in Toledo, Ohio, which is about an hour and a half south of Flint, Michigan. I make that comparison because Michael Moore had just about the same sort of blue-collar, everybody's dad worked in a factory upbringing that I had. And I watched what happened. I was gone. I moved to the South 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But I watched what happened where the industrial engine of this country became the Rust Belt. And then I watched as all these jobs were sent someplace else. And when I was a kid growing up, there was always this tension that promoted by corporate America to cause friction or tension between the worker on the shop floor and middle management or the so-called white collar jobs. And there was an understanding that, well, the workers, the union members, were of a certain class, and the white-collar workers who were not union members were of another class. All of a sudden, maybe this is Bush meant when he said he's a uniter, not a divider, but he's possibly uniting the so-called white-collar worker and the so-called blue-collar worker because both now are at risk. Too bad the white-collar workers back in the 40s and 50s and 60s didn't form as strong a union memberships as some of the manufacturing jobs did.
Mm-hmm. But I think you're absolutely right. I think that there has been a real consciousness raising among white-collar workers, and you do see now in a number of places, Seattle, some places in New Jersey, where there are clusters of information technology kinds of jobs, and workers, you know, some of those workers got really rich, but not all of them were treated great to mm-hmm. begin with, but mm-hmm. now they feel even more vulnerable, and there are a number of organizations that are springing up that are not necessarily conventional unions in the same way we think of the UAW or an old line manufacturing union, but they are unions in the sense that they are organizations of working women and men who have come together to better their working conditions and to win a measure of job security and dignity on the job. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think this is a way in which, for all the harm he does, that President Bush has actually has created challenges that ultimately may prove to be good for us. I would like to say one thing about your point about the basic safety net of worker protections, building a middle class. I think that's absolutely true. But I don't think this administration stops at policies that undermine the kinds of jobs that protect the middle class in this country. This administration doesn't want us to raise the federal minimum wage unless states are allowed to opt out of it.
Right.
Now, I'm from the South, too. I know what state minimum wage laws are and have been traditionally in the South and in other parts of the country. And the very notion that workers who earn as little as workers can legally be paid in this country should be robbed of the opportunity for a federal minimum wage increase is just outrageous.
Oh, it is, especially when you consider that in, say, $1972 or $1968, the minimum wage has declined by about 35 or 40%
right.
in actual purchase power.
Right.
And it's astonishing to me how compliant, is that the word, or passive the American worker is. There was a time in this country where people were willing to get on the streets and, some of them died in order
mm-hmm.
to establish certain minimal standards below which the American worker said, I will not go below this because I have a family, I have a spouse, I have kids, I want my kids to go to college, yada, yada, yada. And the Bush administration is to me, is far worse than even the Reagan administration. The Bush
absolutely.
Administration stops at nothing.
Right, absolutely.
I want to ask you, the AFL-CIO, I know you all are really getting active, really getting politically active, because if we have four more years of Bush and the Republican legislative branch, this country may not be able to come back. So what is the AFL-CIO doing specifically to turn out the vote, A, B, to make sure it goes for Democratic candidates?
Well, we will. We have already begun our member education and member mobilization effort. You know, labor unions basically have a free hand when it comes to reaching out to their members, educating them about candidates, endorsing candidates, and doing a massive get-out-the-vote operation. And the AFL-CIO has run an increasingly effective program over the last 6 or 8 years, so much so that, in fact, in 2002, the right wing actually imitated our activities in terms of targeting their voters and doing a massive get-out-the-vote operation. But we're starting much earlier. We're putting people on the ground around the country already. We're running what we call worksite leaflet programs around issues such as the overtime fight or mm-hmm. efforts to cut back on pension protections, the Medicare prescription drug fight. And then we will be putting staff on the ground in a number of states around the country where there are key races that will affect the outcome of the presidential race as well as races in the House and the Senate and state-level races. We've also just recently announced the formation of a group called Working America, which will be a group of individuals around the country who want to become associate members of the AFL-CIO, primarily because they want to have a vehicle to learn about what's going on in Congress, at the White House, in state governments.
And maybe learn some organizing.
Learn some organizing and learn and so they can be targeted with the kind of voter education and voter turnout materials that we have traditionally provided to union members. And we're extremely excited about that. We feel like, based on all of our travels around the country and our officers' travels, that, people may not be out on the street yet, Mike, but there is a lot of unhappiness and a lot of unrest.
For sure.
And when you have manufacturing employers in South Carolina saying, I'm not going to support George Bush in 2004.
Yeah.
You know something's going on.
Hey, can I get you to hold on a second,
sure.
Chris? We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll just have a couple of minutes, and perhaps you can give us a couple of websites, especially if there's a website for that organization you
okay,
just mentioned.
Great.
All right? We're talking with Chris Owen. She is the Public Policy Director for the AFL-CIO. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Every day it's something new. Lay off threats and hiring freezes. Freezes in our wages too. Paychecks pounded by inflation. Budgets cut down to the bone. We have got to stand together. This is no time to stand alone. Here we go.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's good day.
On
on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
We shall not be moved.
Old Union songs, which most of us who may have sung them at one time have certainly forgotten by now. We're talking with Chris Owen. She is the public policy director for the AFL-CIO. Chris, a couple of websites. What was the one you just mentioned about people who might want to affiliate with AFL-CIO?
Well, what I want to have folks do, Mike, is come to the AFL-CIO website, and that's just www.aflcio.org, and that's all lowercase and no hyphen in there.
Okay.
There's information on our website about the overtime battle, which I really want people to get engaged in, and there's also information about this organization, Working mm-hmm. America. And people can also send inquiries to us at webmaster@aflcio.org.
Okay. All right. I will post a link at my website this evening, well, this weekend.
Okay.
We usually don't get off till midnight. But are you generally, we only have about a minute left here, are you generally encouraged? It's real hard to keep a good attitude these days. Are you generally encouraged that the outcome of the 2004 election will start to turn things around in this country?
You know, I am more encouraged than I have been for a long time.
Really?
And part of it is that the administration continues to do these just incredible things. I heard a little bit on your show about the order to cut the federal employee pay raise,
yeah,
for example. And I really think that the more people find out about what's going on and what's at stake, the more likely they are to be energized to get out and vote and to change the direction that George Bush is trying to lead this country.
Well, I know that's the primary goal of AFL-CIO. Yeah, I'm so old, Chris, I can remember when we had a news media in this country who took it upon themselves to inform us of these sorts of things. But I guess we have to get the information out where we can. AFL-CIO is one of those places. Listen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I do appreciate you taking time to sit with us here for a while. Stay in touch.
Okay. Great.
All right, Chris. Thanks so much.
Have a good Labor Day.
Okay, you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Christine Owens is the public policy director for the AFL-CIO. She joined us from Washington, D.C. Quick break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The death toll in a deadly Iraq car bombing is now up to 75. Among those killed was a leading Shiite Muslim ayatollah who wielded political power. Ayatollah Mohammed Bakir al-Hakim had made it a policy not to interfere with the American-led war in Iraq. He had authorized his brother to serve on the governing council established by the U.S. last month. Washington saw the ayatollah as a stabilizing influence in central Iraq. The car bomb exploded just after Friday prayer services. Earlier today, near the town of Bakuba in the so-called Sunni Triangle, one American soldier was killed and three others wounded when their convoy came under guerrilla attack. Six golf fans returning from the Deutsche Bank Golf Championship in Norton, Massachusetts, were injured this afternoon as their shuttle bus was returning them to the Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. WHDH-TV reports that a strong wind gust somehow propelled part of the metal parking lot gate into the bus. Two of the injured are said to be in serious condition, while four other people are being treated at local hospitals. Gillette Stadium is being used as a staging area for the tournament spectators.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
What had been dubbed a breakthrough World Trade Organization deal to provide key drugs to poor nations has been put on hold in Geneva. The U.S., which had objected to the deal and had tried to narrow it, had finally signed on so the issue would not cloud next month's WTO meeting in Cancun, Mexico. Some say this delay means the issue will not be resolved before the Cancun meeting. Laura Iyama reports.
Under existing trade rules, nations can make copycat generic copies of patented brand-name drugs in a health emergency. That's why Brazil and India can make generic versions of anti-AIDS drugs. The proposed trade deal would have allowed poor countries to import generic drugs from India or Brazil with certain restrictions. The countries exporting the drugs would have to agree not to increase exports to nations that are not poor, that do not have a health emergency, and take anti-smuggling measures. But now other nations say the anti-smuggling measures must not make it more difficult for poor nations to acquire the drugs. Laura Iyama, Washington.
One ringy-dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy-dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
Republicans and Democrats involved in the California recall election are united in their criticism of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is so far the only major candidate refusing to appear in a debate set for next Wednesday in Walnut Creek. Richie Ross is the manager of Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante's campaign. Ross says Arnold isn't living up to his movie tough guy image.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a scaredy cat, a sissy. He ought to come out and debate the other candidates like a man.
Schwarzenegger's staff says there's still a possibility that he will attend the event. It will be broadcast live all around the state. Stocks finished the week with a higher trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 42 points to 94.16. The S&P 500 added 5 points to 10.08. The Nasdaq jumped 10 points to 18.11. The markets were given a lift by a positive manufacturing report from the Midwest. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh no, one size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Again, we'll be off Monday, Labor Day, just like you will, all right? I'm not sure what they're going to run. We've asked the Home Office to run the interview we did with Dennis Kucinich. We'll see. A couple of quick emails here, then back to your phone calls. My good friend C.W., down in Mississippi, sends this in. Hey, Mike, I think that Toby Keith, you know, we were referring to there, Toby Keith, what King David said. Toby Keith is trying to back out of his pro-Bush statements regarding Iraq now. CW writes, hey, Mike, I think that Toby Keith is just another in long line trying to gently ease his flapping ass out of the breeze caused by the Bush administration's stuff hitting the fan. The damage that he has done to the Dixie Chicks and others brave enough to speak the truth in itself should be a war crime in my book. Yeah, I hear you, CW. I hear you indeed. What else we got here? Ron sent this in. Mike, I have a hypothetical situation to describe to you and then a question to ask you and your listeners about. It is perhaps a little early to start thinking about this, but maybe not. Maybe we ought to go ahead and start thinking now about what we will do then. Fast forward to the late evening, November 2nd, 2004, a little more than 14 months from now. The election results are coming in, and a pattern is beginning to emerge in several key states in which electronic paperless voting machines are widely used. The results are disagreeing significantly with the last polls taken in the day or two before the election. What's more, Those disparities are all outside the margin of error for those polls, and a disparity in every one of those states favors George W. Bush. Not long after that, the network's projections of the winners in those and other key states add up to an Electoral College majority for George W. Bush, and the networks all start to declare Bush the winner. Now, Mike, if this happens, what are we going to do about it? What are you and I and all of us who consider ourselves liberals and progressives and Democrats going to do about it? I'm not a marcher, nor a demonstrator, nor a picketer, but if this happens, if the usurper, quote, wins, close quote, a second term under extremely suspicious circumstances like these, I will participate in a march on Washington. What was it you said about Milosevic the other day? That when he refused to leave, the people marched on that palace he was holed up in, tossed him out and told him, you lost, now get lost. If it comes down to a situation where we Americans are going to have to do something like this, are we going to do it? Are we going to be able to do it? Ron. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Now, how far-fetched is what Ron is talking about? How far-fetched is the stuff you read at blackboxvoting.com? How far-fetched is it for the canaries in the coal mines right now who are saying, you know, these people could steal this thing? Well, how about this? Where's the story? I've got the story here somewhere. In Ohio. Here it is. Here's what it says. This is from Ohio News Network, which is sort of like CNN, only it's only for Ohio. A wealthy businessman who's helping the Ohio Republican Party try to win the state in 2004 for Bush also leads a company competing for a coveted state contract to sell voting machines. Walden Odell is chief executive of Diebold Incorporated in North Canton, Ohio. The Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper reported yesterday that Odell told Republicans in an August 14th fundraising letter that he is committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to Bush. The letter promoted a fundraiser at his suburban Columbus, Ohio mansion. The next day, Ohio Secretary of State Kenneth Blackwell was set to qualify Diebold as one of three companies eligible to sell upgraded electronic voting machines to Ohio counties in time for the 2004 election. That decision was delayed during a court challenge by another bidder. Not because Diebold is run by psychopaths, real religious psychopaths, the Christian Identity Movement. Oh, do a Google on it. For God's sake, if you don't know what the Christian Identity Movement is yet, Google it. Read. And be afraid. Be very, very afraid. Diebold is owned by a corporation headed by the man who is the spiritual guru of the Christian Identity Movement. Jesus. So how far-fetched is what Ron wrote? How far-fetched is what you find on blackboxvoting.com? How far-fetched is the idea that the Bush crime family is determined to steal the next election like they stole the last one? Well, it's not far-fetched at all. The effort will be made. Because the Bush crime family knows. They know. I don't care the 53% still support him. By the time the election comes around next year, we are going to be up to our chins in crap. Hundreds more Americans will be dead as a result of Bush's little adventure in Iraq. Thousands more Iraqis will be blown to pieces. The job situation in this country will have deteriorated further. The environmental situation in this country will be almost a non-existent idea. All of it is going down the sewer. That's what it's going to be like 14 months from now. And the American people will throw this bastard out of office. So what happens when they try to steal it? Well, I know where I'll be. I know where I will be. I will be just like those people in Yugoslavia who told Milosevic, get your defeated ass out of here. Ah. Ted in Montana sent this in. Mike, the bombing in Iraq today was very sad, very tragic. What many Americans do not know is that back in 1985, William Casey, the former, you know, the former DCIA, director of the Central Intelligence Agency, authorized the CIA to plant a car bomb near a mosque in Beirut. It was to kill Sheikh Mohammed Hossein Fadlala, a Muslim cleric. The attack killed 80 people, but not the Sheikh. We are good, they are evil? I don't think so. Ted in Montana. Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember it. Do a Google. Don't ask me to link Ted's email. Just check it out. Car bomb, Beirut, 1985. You'll get all the information you could possibly use. My first reaction when, you know, once again today, flip on TV early in the morning, Kathy's outside watering the plants, and I'm laying in bed trying to find the floor with both feet and click on the CNN, and there it is. The death toll now is around 125. The first thought, I have to be honest with you, well, the CIA struck again. CIA struck again. They wanted the Sheikh dead. This Ayatollah dead. They got him dead. That may or may not be true, but that was my first thought. How could it be otherwise? When you look at the criminal activity of the Bush crime family, when you look at the lies, when you look at progenitors of these people who are now running the country, when you look back to the 80s where these little thugs and murderers like Reich and Abrams and Negroponte and Pearl and the rest of these people, Wolfowitz and Armitage, when they were all doing their filthy, dirty mass murders in Southeast Asia, in South America, in Central America, what are you supposed to think, huh? If you have the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk, what are you supposed to think?
Oh, well, a bomb went off in Beirut. Fallujah today. 175 people killed. Well, it's those damn Muslims. They're just crazy. They're just blowing each other up. Yep. That's all that is.
Is that what you're going to think? Yeah. Okay. Charles is calling from San Diego. Charles, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. This is my second call.
Yes, it is.
I love your show, of course.
Well, thanks.
We were talking about labor, right?
Yeah, we were before I went off on a rant. Yes.
Yeah, he went off on the black box voting, which we all know is going to ensure Bush's reelection. He can't even buy it with $200 million.
Yeah.
Anyway, with labor, you know what pisses me off most about the Bush regime's attack on all this, besides the overtime, which, you know, come to think of it, with the overtime, my daughter is now working an enforced 60-hour week, which means that she's working, what, 25%? More hours than she would work with a 40-hour week. So wouldn't this go a long way to reducing the unemployment statistics in this country?
She's working 50% more.
Or 50% more, yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, does that reduce the unemployment statistics? Sure.
So it doesn't make sense. I mean, wouldn't these guys want to reduce the unemployment statistics by enforcing 40-hour work weeks and putting people back to work instead of taking...
No.
The people, yeah, they're just nuts, though, aren't they?
No, the unemployment numbers don't mean anything because, first of all, they're not true numbers. The real unemployment number in this figure in this country is around 9.8% when you factor in the people who have given up.
Like anybody gives up working.
Right.
What do you think I'm going to do, just go become homeless? I mean, that's stupid.
Well, I know. But the Bush crime family doesn't care about numbers. They don't care about the number of unemployed.
I think they do care. They want high unemployment.
No, I mean they don't care what effect it has on the American public. They don't care.
Well, that's true. Yeah, they don't care about the damage that it causes families and children, of course. But they like high unemployment. There's no doubt about that. That's why they do it all the time.
They also don't care about the numbers of wounded and dead coming back from Iraq. They don't care about
wounded.
Anything.
There's no wounded. I watch CNN. They've never mentioned a wounded person.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true,
Jesus, the maimed people. It's heart sickening. Anyway, to get back to labor, though, let's do this one.
Sure.
Okay, one of the things that really pissed me off, I work in the computer industry, or I did until Bush got elected, and he rescinded the ergonomics regulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was insane because without these, people who do suffer from, you know, carpal tunnel syndrome, and I'll tell you that there are some people who are very susceptible to it.
Yeah.
And when they get help, you know, they get a therapy that they go to, but they continue to work, you know, and they wear these devices on their wrists. And you wouldn't believe that there was a fairly large percentage, I'd say maybe 10 to 15% of the people that I worked with, that after a year or two of, you know, making computer games, you know, with all the typing that we do,
mm-hmm.
Would need this kind of therapy.
Hey,
and they would continue working.
Let me put you on hold a second, okay?
Sure.
All right, because we got a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
An awfully ugly little bill is quietly squirming its way through the congressional machinery. A bill that would be devastating for small business, consumers, and our communities. It's the National Bank of Walmart bill. Actually, that's not the official title, but that's its impact. Walmart, Citigroup, GE, and a handful of other giants have been pushing Congress to build a system of banking that would operate outside the regulatory oversight of the Federal Reserve Board and would have the power to bully local independent banks out of business. Lobbyists for Walmart and the rest want Congress to let them buy little-known entities called industrial loan companies, then expand these small outfits into full-fledged commercial banks, opening up branches nationwide without state approval and escaping federal rules to make the banks operate in a sound manner. It's a way for the Walmarts to bypass the current prohibition against commercial firms owning banks, giving them the banking power to take control of our local economies. Walmart is the smiley-faced beast that already uses predatory pricing power to crush small businesses wherever it locates, and now it could use this new national banking clout to muscle out local banks. Then it would own the town. A local business trying to compete with Walmart, for example, would have to go to the beast for credit, even having to reveal its business plan to the giant. Naturally, Walmart will not be terribly interested in financing local competitors, instead using its banks to siphon our local capital out of our communities and into its own expansion elsewhere. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course Walmart and its political puppets claim that this is simply how the competitive system works. But that's like saying that you should compete with Mike Tyson in a street brawl. Unleashing Walmart on our communities is not a competition. It's a mugging. This giant already exercises brutish power, and it ought not get more.
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand. If you're trying to create new jobs, in other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Jesus Christ Almighty! Oh my God! Oh my God! Did you hear that, Charles?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's just,
it's like when you have more business, you have more commerce or whatever that one
was. Oh, my God. So, ergonomic rules all gone south thanks to the Bush crime family.
Right, okay, we covered ergonomics. Okay,
yes,
what's my next outrage? The investigation on federal labor laws.
Yeah.
He suspended regulations requiring, like OSHA and other supervising regulatory agencies, to investigate violation of federal labor laws.
Right. Now, no investigation, no crime.
I guess.
If the police don't show up and try to figure out what the corpse on the floor is all about, no murder was committed.
We don't need the police unless they got to throw you out of the library, I guess.
There you go. It's we live in interesting times, Charles. Which is,
I do not.
As you know, that's an old Chinese curse.
I know what
and,
it means.
And I swear I've said it before, and it's just becoming. I think I have found. Something here that is part of my life plan, although I don't believe in that nonsense, and that is if the Bush crime family steals this election, or I think.
What do you mean if?
Well, if I think. If I get, in other words, if the numbers start.
You know what, Diebold and geez, he's got a projected $200 million, you know, deep pocket to steal the election. If he can't buy it, he's going to steal it.
Well,
know this is going to happen.
If it does happen, I have a feeling I know what's going to happen to me, because I will not put up with it. I will not. If it means getting beat to death on the streets of Washington, D.C., or spending the rest of my life in prison for something, that's just the way it's going to be.
You're
because,
more patriotic than I am.
Well, I'm not going to put up with it. You know, I've said before.
Me and my brother are considering moving to Australia.
Well, that too. That is a possibility.
Canada, no.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. You know, geez, I've been a patriotic American. I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. But if they succeed in stealing this next election, which it sure looks like they're going to, I just don't know, you know, what recourse I'm going to have.
Well, we're going to need people like you who understand how to use weapons.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I tell you, I've never touched a weapon since I came back.
Well, that's because you haven't been threatened, maybe. Hey, listen, Charles.
Well, I was threatened, but it was during wartime, so that was a different situation.
I mean since you came back.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Well, we're being threatened.
I had
now.
Kids too, you know, and I wouldn't keep a weapon when I had kids.
I know. I understand.
I'm not anti-weapon. I'm not anti-gun or any of that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't have small children in my home either. When I did, I did not have guns in the house, but I do not have small children in my house now, and I'm well armed. Hey, listen.
Yeah,
thanks, Charles.
I've considered it. Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate talking to you.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Have a nice Labor Day weekend. I don't make any. Look, I've said it before. I'm sorry we live in a society that is where it's at right now. I'm talking about politically. I will remain armed until. This is from Fred Bennett in Perth, Western Australia. Hi, Mike and Kathy. Perhaps the U.S. needs to invite the U.N. to observe the 2004 presidential election for fairness. Although this obviously won't happen. Did you ever imagine that there would come a time when this suggestion wasn't ridiculous? Yeah. Perth, Western Australia. And then he puts here in parentheses, candidate for the Perth bureau chief. Well, I emailed him back and said, Fred, you are the Perth, Western Australia bureau chief. Yeah, if not UN observers, how about Jimmy Carter appoint a group associated with the Carter Center here in Atlanta? They monitor elections in Central America, in the old Soviet republics, in Eastern Europe. Why not monitor the election in the United States, right? Maybe we can get a delegation from Australia. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Gore and Yoga by Tannen. There ain't no way that I voted for Buchanan.
In case they get tangled in a Revo web, no need to sweat, W. You can count on Brother Jeff.
Uh-oh, and we better get Mako to fix this. Now leave it up to Thomas Scalia and Rehnquist. Got a blank ballot, absentee, you're overseas. Seminole will fill it in long as you're down with the GOP. And the WB.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Children's books are carrying more messages about the environment, but the best ones do it in a subtle way, according to a publisher. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. How do you educate preschool kids about environmental problems? Very gently, according to Laura Godwin, a vice president and associate publisher of Henry Holt Books for Young Readers. Godwin says children's books, even those for the very young, often reflect what's going on in the world, but she says heavy-handed or scary messages are not appropriate or useful. She points to a new book by Bill Martin and Eric Carle that gets it right. It's called Panda Bear, Panda Bear, What Do You See? A book of simple rhymes about 10 endangered or threatened species.
Their intent was never to proselytize because it's for preschoolers, and I think what is so unusual about this particular book that it's really an introduction to the idea of the grandeur of animals and the world of animals. And of course, all of the animals in this book are not from one particular continent or place. They're from all over the world. And it just very subtly and gently creates, I think, an interest on the child's part in what these wonderful creatures are.
Godwin says Bill Martin helped develop a new way to teach kids to read through pattern repetition rather than phonics, and most parents are familiar with Eric Carle's unique illustrations.
These are two bright lights in the children's book world. They've maintained this collaborative relationship over 35 years, and I think it's a wonderful tribute to them and to the children that the topic that they choose is conservation, and it's something that comes from the heart.
Godwin says Martin and Carle's Panda Bear helps introduce the youngest readers to an important subject without scaring them. She says that's the only way it should be done. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. I guess everybody has seen this thing that's making its way around the internet now, published in the Washington Post, the interview with We Magazine some 20 years ago with Arnold Schwarzenegger, now the leading Republican candidate in California. He described participating in orgies, said he smoked marijuana, referred to gay men as fags. Spoke at length and at times in coarse and lewd language about his sexual exploits and drug use. At one point in the interview, Schwarzenegger said, quote, bodybuilders party a lot. Advance in Gold's, the gym in Venice, California, where the top guys trained. There was a black girl who came out naked. Everybody jumped on her and took her upstairs where we all got together. The interviewer then asked Schwarzenegger, who is now married and has four children, if he's referring to a gangbang. And he said, yes, but not everybody, just bodybuilders who are willing to have sex in front of other men.
Just bodybuilders who are willing to have sex in front of other men.
That's it.
You've got to get the accent right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay. All right. At another point in the interview, Schwarzenegger said that men shouldn't feel like fags just because they want to have a nice-looking body. He also said he had smoked only grass and hash, no hard drugs. I sound like Boris Karloff? Oh, okay. Well, I can't do this. You know, I can't do an Austrian accent. In other interviews in recent years, he has admitted to taking steroids and smoking marijuana. Well, smoking marijuana is a plus, but, you know, all this stuff about... Oh, now, I like this. The campaign director for conservative Republican State Senator Tom McClintock, who is also running in the recall election, declined to comment about Schwarzenegger's remarks in the adult magazine. The Republican campaign manager, John Felice, said, we're not interested in his secret sex life. Really? You don't want to see Arnie's wah-wah the way you wanted to see Clinton? Well, I guess you can see. Well, there's pictures circulating on the Internet where you can see Arnie's penis. It's right there. See, that's what Clinton should have done. That would have staved off impeachment. Remember, all the right-wingers wanted was to see Clinton's penis, and they all would have sat down and shut up and said, okay, that's all we wanted. Oh, my gosh, it is Friday night, and here's Brother Sky Blue in Memphis. Hey, brother.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Mike, you always go to France, move over to France like Johnny Depp did his family. He said America was too violent for him.
Yeah.
So he moved... You mentioned the, what do you call them, the Christian identity movement?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like this, they're like white power Nazism. You know, I'm definitely not a white supremacist. The only radio stations down here in Memphis, Tennessee that will allow me to get on the air are these black talk radio stations, you know.
Uh-huh.
This town is completely dominated the airways by these fundamentalists, Southern Baptist Christians, that same bunch, you know, sitting up there on the steps of the courthouse in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
The same ones that were there 30 years ago swearing, you know, over our dead bodies, black children won't go to school with black children.
Amen.
Well, I'm a pro-choice liberal Christian, Mike, and of course I have come to the knowledge of the true Christian religion through the theological writings of the 17th century Swedish theologian
Swedenborg.
Emanuel Swedenborg.
Right.
You know, and I hate to see that that liberals and the National Organization of Women surrender the field of theology over to these right-wing conservative fundamentalists who only use religion as a cloak for their greed and selfishness. You know, their prayer is, God bless me and my Ford no more and close the door.
Right, right.
You know, and they don't own the Bible, and the only thing they own are these airwaves, these Christian broadcasting networks, and they pump this Jesus junk down to us 24 hours a day. You know, they're even already giving Mel Gibson a hard time about his movie he's got coming out about the last days of Christ, you know, and him being brought up before the Romans. They're saying that it might look bad. It might be kind of anti-Semitic if we made it look like it was the Jewish priest that conspired to get Jesus turned over to the Romans and crucified. So that's what we're up against. It's the 666 out of the book of the Revelation. No buying or selling. Cain slew his brother Abel in the field of religion. Oh, we can talk for hours and hours about politics, you know.
Right.
But no, we can't. No, we dare not say anything about the Catholic Church, even though their fruits are these fruity priests, and even though the Episcopalians, you know, they've got, I don't mind gay marriage, you know. If they, that's a lot better than having them out being promiscuous and infecting scores of young men. If they want to play church, at least they're not running around stabbing people in the back. So I guess my bottom line is that, you know, I just hate that. Talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie, Pumping Iron, I remember one scene in that. He's back in the dressing room, and he's got a marijuana joint in his hand. He takes a big, long pull off of it and leans back in his easy chair and says, it's better than sex. You know, and this man is running against him, this Democrat, Bustamante.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's came out today, yesterday. He said, well, I've never smoked hashish, and I've never had group sex, and I've never exercised. So that's about where it's, you know, there's no difference. Conservatives, the Republicans, the Democrats, we're not going to correct the things on the planet or in our country through the political realm of alone. We're going to have a religious revival. You know, we say we got freedom of religion, but the Rastafarians from Jamaica, they tried to come up here about 25 years ago and had their churches in Miami. They believe that marijuana is a God-given gift, and they use it as a sacrament. No, their religion is outlawed. We got hundreds of thousands of Coptics in North Africa that use marijuana as a religious sacrament. No, that religion's a banned. You know, we got freedom of speech here in the South, they say, as long as it's Southern Baptist.
I hear you, Brother Sky Blue. Thanks. Appreciate your call. Just one thing. Most of the vast majority of AIDS cases are transmitted through heterosexual activity. Yeah, the Native American Church. I guess there was a ruling that the Native American Church could use peyote in their religious sacraments. I've always been suspicious of prohibitions against the use of so-called psychedelics or psychoactive drugs in religious ceremonies, because that's what religion is all about. It's about reaching a transcendent state, and if the key to the door happens to be a peyote bud or leaf from a plant deep in the Amazon, have at it. I mean, for those who reject, as most Americans do, the theories of Charles Darwin and natural selection, then then you have to have some sort of key to unlock that door into spirituality. If you know, if you really believe that God is not dead, and if he is alive, he is something more than a hiccup in the universe. If you believe that and try to reach that transcendent stage, you know, we don't have time to reach higher levels of consciousness through meditation now. And so if you don't want to believe in evolution and plant biology, if you want to believe that God created everything, okay. Did he create everything except peyote buttons and psilocybin mushrooms and marijuana and stuff like that? Oh. Oh, well. Dave is calling from Oklahoma. Is it Tahlequah?
Tahlequah,
Oklahoma. Dave, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, huh?
Yeah.
Where is Tahlequah?
Oh, it's, if you visualize
yes.
Oklahoma.
Yes.
You know that little thing that juts out right out above Texas?
Yes.
That would be around there.
Oh, okay. You need to talk up just a bit.
Oh, okay.
There you go. There you go. That's better. Yes, he can hear you fine.
Okay. I just
want to say that there's a force much more powerful than violence. And if I believed that violence solved anything, I'd be the first one in the streets with guns as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you look at in Nashville in 1960, India in 1930, South Africa in 1984, Denmark in 1940, Poland in 1980, Chile in 1983. It's each time it was the people who were nonviolent who ended up throwing out the dictators.
I have great respect for the peacemakers. I really do. But if you take a look at those very countries you just named, you will see the slaughter of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, in order for that march toward independence to occur. Now, let's remember that Gandhi was shot dead in the streets after the British left. Let's remember that in Poland, the Soviet Union, prior to Lech Wałęsa's movement, the Soviet Union set troops in. We don't know how many Polish people died in prisons. I'm not an advocate of violence, but I'm also not a pacifist, Dave. I really am not. Perhaps in another life, in a different universe, I may be a pacifist. But in this life, in this universe, I am not. And I'll tell you why. It's very simple. I have learned that pacifism truly does not work. Jesus was a pacifist, and they executed him. Martin Luther King was a pacifist. They executed him. Gandhi was a pacifist. They executed him. I can go on and on and on. Lech Wałęsa was not a pacifist. These people, these countries that you mention, they had people in those countries willing to die for freedom. I am willing to die, but I will tell you this. If the time comes for me to take up a weapon and die for freedom, I will damn sure make sure that I don't make that journey alone. I'm not trying to come across as some macho hard ass. I just want to make it clear. I'm not a pacifist. I will fight.
I understand, but
okay.
Just like I tell people who are all gung-ho for the Bush administration, I tell them that if killing terrorists ended terrorism, Israel would be the safest place on the planet. And if killing dictators and doing violent actions made people more free, then this would be the world's safest planet also.
Sure.
And if you look at the results of people like Gandhi, and you look at the results of people like Martin Luther King, and you look at the results of all the pacifists through the time, yes, they might die. But if the goal is the greater good, then it's just logical to stick to nonviolent action.
Well, again, I'm a great believer in nonviolence, but I do not equate nonviolence with pacifism. I just don't. To me, there are two entirely different concepts. There was nothing pacific in the pacifist mode about the civil rights demonstrations in the South. They may have begun as pacifist movements, but I can remember I was working for Look magazine back in 1962 and 63 when the Greyhound bus Freedom Riders rolled into the South and the people were dragged off and beaten, some of them to death, and the buses were torched and burned. So, again, I believe in nonviolence, but not on this planet, not in this time would I ever be a pacifist. I respect you if that's your way of dealing with it. I respect that, but that's not me. And I have found over the years that I don't get into those kinds of discussions with my pacifist brothers and sisters because they have a plan that works for them. That plan does not work for me.
I understand.
So, you know, there are many mansions in God's house, and I happen to live in that one where pacifism is not something I'm inclined toward.
Then, Mike, will just make me you don't have to promise if you don't want to, but just I hope someday your show will be big and good. Just promise yourself that if you ever get good, you never go on the air and just say things like that would promote violence just for ratings.
Oh, no. And my program has been big and good. You know, don't forget, I was on WLS at one time. You know, I had an audience in the millions. It wasn't until I got fired, not really fired, until I was forced into a situation to leave. I went back to work for CNN. I figured I was out of talk radio. And then this network came along, just a budding network, just starting, and said, hey, we want to hire you. And I said, fine. So, I've been to the top of that mountain. I've been in the major leagues. I had a big program here in Atlanta back in the late 80s, early 90s, a big show in Chicago in the 90s. So don't think that this is just some little tacky ass internet program that nobody can hear unless they have unless they live in Santa Fe or Petoskey, Michigan. That's not the case. It may be the case now, but no, I don't go on the air and advocate violence. I only talk about what I would do. I'm not a leader, a guru, a hero, anything other than just a dude trying to make a living. But I'll tell you what, I've got convictions, and I have a belief system, and I have an ethical sense, and I have morality. And all of that dictates to me that while pacifism may be good for some people, and while I can embrace the ideas of nonviolence, I also understand that I live in a real world. And in that real world, nonviolence it's just not a workable concept. Again, maybe in another life, maybe in a past life, maybe 100 years from now. But not now. This entire planet right now is operating out of its reptilian brain, and that's where I'm at, too. But I appreciate your call, Dave. I hope you're going to call in again.
I hope so, too.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Sense and to rearrange. Rearrange the way you think. Hesitate, lose control, and you will sink. Think fast, think for yourself. Don't let the world be your own hell, because it is so. It's so full of greed, because it is so. It's so. So much need for independence, solidarity, unity, and prosperity.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Wanna do something about it?
You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang and I answered the door. Just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush, what a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain."
Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah's Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary. How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect.
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right-wing amidiotitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my charge?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more because everybody'd have a gun.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
You know we're just kidding with that. I am totally anti-gun. I am totally anti-violence. But I totally live in the United States of America 2003, and I am no damn fool. Okay? 800-TALK, yes, is where we are. Mike is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I was just going to comment on what you were saying about being armed in this crazed society, which is a good idea, by the way. But have you ever read Robert Heinlein?
Oh, yeah. I used to read his science fiction when I was a kid.
You know, he made a very good point in one of his books saying, you know, that you're... your rank in hell is determined by the bodyguard you take with you. And
whoa.
I'm a rather firm believer in that one myself.
Whoa, that's pretty heavy duty. I didn't know Heinlein, I didn't know he had ever written that. That's, yeah, all right. I've tried to make it clear on this program that I am in favor of nonviolence. I have nothing but respect for the social messages that Gandhi, Christ, King, these other people tried to get out there, but I also understand that all of them were murdered, butchered in the street, shot down, or hanged, or whatever. And I'm sorry, I wish I lived in a society. I wish I had been born into a society that was pacifist, a society of race of creatures that had decided that war and death and destruction and executions and murder was stupid and reptilian and didn't make any sense. But that's not where I was born. And I'm not going to delude myself into thinking that me, out of 8 billion, that if I become a pacifist, all of a sudden the world is going to have an extra jolt of good vibes and all the violence will stop. No, thank you. I'm not going to do that.
You know, it's one of my pet peeves about many of the many Democrats is their knee jerk reaction to gun control. We've got to take everybody's guns away and just leave them in the hands of the police. Excuse me. Hello.
I know.
Do you recall this is exactly what Hitler did?
I know. I look at the whole gun issue is one I hate to get into because like I said, I do believe in licensing and control and all of this stuff, but we don't live in a place now or a time now where that makes any sense to me at all. Hey, listen, there's the music. Mike, I'm glad you called. I hope you call again, pal.
Will do.
All right, sir. Take care. Quick break here. We will be right back. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her
right.
boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. At least 75 people are now dead in the wake of a car bomb blast in the Iraqi holy city of Najaf. Among those killed was a leading Shiite Muslim Ayatollah who wielded political power in favor of the United States. With Washington seeing Ayatollah Mohammed Bakir al-Hakim as a stabilizing influence in central Iraq, Jonathan Schanzer of the Washington Institute says Iran may be responsible for his death as Iran wants the U.S. to fail in Iraq.
He had been calling for unity among the Shia in Iraq for quite some time, and this might not have really worked well with the Iranian vision of the way things would be going in Iraq. They do have a vested interest in seeing the United States fail, so if he was being successful in bringing together the Shia of Iraq, this would certainly be in their interest.
Because of the extent of some of the victims' injuries, officials fear the death toll could climb higher. There are about 150 people being treated at the medical facility as a result of the explosion that gutted several vehicles and destroyed or damaged buildings in the area, including the mosque itself. The vast majority of Americans believe another terrorist attack on the U.S. will happen in the near future. That's according to a new public opinion survey from USA Today, CNN, and the Gallup Organization. The findings are published just as millions of Americans prepare to leave for the end of summer holiday weekend marking Labor Day. Priscilla Huff has more.
80% of Americans surveyed reported they believe associates of fugitive al-Qaeda chief Osama bin Laden are in the country and poised to launch major strikes at any time. The USA Today CNN Gallup Organization poll found 54% believe terrorists could strike in the next few weeks. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has stepped back from publicizing increased threats of terrorism with its color-coded system after many expressed confusion over what the colors meant. However, U.S. officials have not indicated that they've received intelligence that a strike is imminent. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
A man who climbed an Atlanta tower in a clown outfit whose demands for a name change of the world's busiest airport drew a SWAT team to the site has been identified. John Noggle climbed a broadcasting tower holding up a sign promoting a Gandhi, Dr. King, and Jimmy Carter airport to replace Atlanta's current Hartsfield. After hours of negotiations, the man climbed down after it began to rain. Noggle was taken for psychiatric evaluation at Grady Hospital and faces charges of reckless conduct and criminal trespass.
Whether you've got bald tires, a flat tire, old tire, or just tired of looking at white walls, then during National Automotive Month at Sears Auto Center. Because Goodyear tires are all on sale. And get a free DieHard Weather Handler battery worth $59.99 when you buy four Goodyear tires. Just bring in your old battery, and we'll exchange it free. But only during National Automotive Month and only at Sears Auto Center. Sears, good life, great price. Sale and free battery offer end 8/23. Find us online at Sears.com or America Online, keyword Sears.
Singer Bobby Brown appeared in an Atlanta courtroom this morning on his way to freedom. Brown faced charges before a Fulton County judge and was given a plea bargain sentence of $1,450 in fines plus court fees and 50 hours of community service stemming from a traffic stop last November. Brown was in leg shackles and civilian clothes to face speeding, possession of marijuana, and driving without a license charges. After the traffic stop, Atlanta police discovered Brown had an outstanding warrant from a 1996 DUI charge in DeKalb County. Brown didn't show up for the hearing and was arrested last week at an Atlanta seafood restaurant. He is free after being released a few days early from the DeKalb County jail for good behavior. On Wall Street, a positive manufacturing report from the Midwest sent stocks higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 42 points to 94.16. The S&P 500 added 5 points to 10.08. The NASDAQ was up 10 points to 18.11. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Email here from Diane in Decatur, Georgia. This is in reference to what we were talking about, monitors coming to this country to keep an eye on our 2004 elections. Diane says, Mike, don't you remember that the UN tried to send monitors or observers for our 2002 elections due to the 2000 fiasco? Bush refused to allow them to do so. We are truly a banana republic. Yeah, I do remember now. I do. And again, do I have to revisit the gun issue? It's a topic I don't discuss on the program, you know, unless it comes up, because I hate it. You know, like I said, I would love to live in a society where guns just did not exist. I got out of the NRA years ago when it became politicized to the extent that it has. I think Wayne LaPierre is a fruitcake and a nutcase. What can I say? You know, I think what's his name? Who's the rock and roll guy? Ted Nugent, who's on the board of the directors of the NRA. I think he's a nutcase too. you know, Guns and Moses, him, you know, all of them. It's an issue I hate to get into because so many people are real perverts where it concerns weapons. I mean, they really are. They treat guns as if they were penile extensions or something. I can't stand that. I just hate this. Hey, come on over. Let me show you what I got. Damn, look at this. Jesus, you know, those people just freak me out, all right? And I've known a lot of them because I've lived in the South for 40 years. Sorry, don't mean to be a regional bigot. This is my home. This is where I live. This is where I've raised my children. This is where I'll stay until I leave the United States of America permanently. But here in the South, we have people who are gun crazy. That's all, okay? I am not a proponent of guns. I am not. I am also, every weapon I have is registered. I am permitted. You know, when I am told to submit to a background check fingerprints, I say, give me the damn ink pad, bro. Doesn't matter to me. So I don't want the wrong impression. I hate guns. And I do not care for the people who love guns. But I am not a pacifist, and I am a liberal who is well-armed. So, you know, enough discussion about that. I appreciate the fact that folks usually don't bring up that topic on this program. Okay, moving right along. Wally is calling for Delaware. Where have you been? I thought the rats had gotten you, buddy.
Only my spirit, Mike.
Where have you been, Wally?
My shift change. I can't listen to you. I work Friday night.
Oh, your shift change.
Yeah,
okay.
And I can't. But I haven't had an opportunity to tune in, and you're always good for my my soul.
Well, we have missed your phone calls, pal.
And I missed you guys.
Oh, well, okay.
But, you know, Mike, I'd like to talk to you about a certain hate-spewing right-wing cracker.
Oh, that would be Joe Scarborough.
And his name is Joe Scarborough, Mike.
Right.
What's wrong with you liberals? Now, I may be self-righteous. No one knows who Lori Clausutis is.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who Chandra Levy is, and
what?
I like it just fine.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that amazing? I mean, I don't know if I should waste valuable Mike Malloy airtime talking about this.
Go ahead.
Loser.
Go ahead.
But it just... You know, all these guys get to me. It's like picking at a scab. I shouldn't even turn TV on.
I know.
But the way he just spews, he's not even particularly intelligent. You know, it's recycled, Xeroxed Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
But the way he spews out his right wing jingoisms was absolute impunity. When this guy probably murdered somebody, just blows me away.
Somebody who he first got pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right. The difference between Scarborough is a Republican redneck from the Florida Panhandle.
That's right.
What's his name? God, how quickly we forget. The one involved in the Chandra Levy.
Gary Condit, and he was a dino. I mean, I'm not defending that.
No, Gary Condit was a creep from California.
Yeah.
But he happened to be a Democrat. And look at the difference in media treatment. You could not turn on MSNBC, CNN, you know, until the attack on the trade towers. You could not turn on television 24/7 without hearing about Gary Condit and Chandra Levy. Without, you remember that vomitous summer until. Whoever it was attacked us and killed 3,000 people on our soil. Prior to that, it was shark attacks and Gary Condit. But this Joe Scarborough, who was in the same situation, only worse. The death of this Lori Clausutis happened in his office, for God's sake.
Remember,
nobody will talk about it. And it died. And this poor girl and the poor family and all of it. And Joe Scarborough now hired by MSNBC. I hate these people.
Utter thugs. You know, and it's scary the demographic, because his ratings are horrible. It's scary the demographic he's trying to pander to. Like, you know, like the Klansman that just got cable. Because I'm so out of it. I haven't talked to you guys, but you've been following this Mel Gibson thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His Catholic killed the Jews because...
Oops, that's right.
Because the Jews killed Christ. Yeah, yeah.
Joe Scarborough all said, do we really need to be so politically correct where we can't say that the Jews did kill Christ?
Oh, my...
I mean, what's wrong with this? I'm paraphrasing just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Mel Gibson has his bloomers in a wad because Vatican II,
yes.
Exonerated the Jews. You know, Jesus was a Jew. I think all Christians forget that. The Jewish leadership at the time didn't like Jesus because he was trying to usurp their power. There was collusion on the part of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, and the Romans. But the Jews could no more condemn someone to death than I can. It was Roman law under which they operated, and the Romans had to issue the death sentence.
Yeah.
And I, you know, again, I started getting weird about Mel Gibson when we saw the movie Signs, because I started thinking, what is this guy trying to say? Yeah. Like Jesus is going to show up and drive the aliens away? What is this? It just got really, and then when this thing came out about his father saying the Holocaust never occurred, it was typhoid. Jesus, what is with these people?
Well, you know what Laura Ingraham said. You know, it was great. She actually coined a new phrase for these wingnuts. What was it? Anti-Christian Hollywood. Anti-Christian Hollywood.
Right, anti-Christian Hollywood. Now, Laura Ingraham is a fruitcake herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's Mike. Just let me ask you, who do you think will occupy a more vile canto of hell? Is it the ilk of a Joe Scarborough who's, you know, really,
right,
really, this is like a franchise for him. It was this or open up a Kinko's.
Yeah.
Or maybe horrible, horrible Chris Matthews, who I think at one time knew the difference.
No, Joe Scarborough gets the lower ring of hell.
You think?
Yeah, I think. I really do. They're all of these guys on these TV talk shows seem to be either these radical Catholics like O'Reilly and the blonde-haired guy you just said.
Chris
Matthews. Scarborough, I don't know about Scarborough. I guess he's just a fundamentalist Protestant. But, no, I think Chris Matthews will get a higher ring in hell. He will have less time there than some thug like O'Reilly. O'Reilly is condemned. And Scarborough, he's between the two of them. Where's Dante when you need him? Because Dante could sort all this out and say and consign people to various levels of hell. But
well, that's what we have John Ashcroft for, Mike.
That's
Come on,
true. Get... That's very true. Yeah.
Like you mentioned, real quick, you mentioned Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
I don't know if the listenership know this, but as much as he is flag waving guns and Jesus,
yeah,
it's documented. He got out of going to Vietnam by crapping in his pants.
Yeah, all of them did. By crapping in his pants?
I mean, literally. This is documented in a Rolling Stone interview.
Oh, yeah?
He ate Vienna sausages for 2 weeks, didn't bathe, and then he showed up at his showed the draft board literally having defecated in his pants. Yeah.
Huh. Well, you know,
board member of NRA.
Now that you say that, I think I remember something about that from the Stone interview. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Well, all of these right-wingers are cowardly chicken hawks, every single one of them. So, you know, when these guys start talking about, hey, man, I got a gun, you know, that makes me gag. That's why I don't like to talk about this issue. I hate to be a gun owner because I think about the company that I'm forced to keep.
Well, it's a fetish with these guys. I don't get it.
I know. It is indeed. It is indeed. Well, Wally, please don't be such a stranger.
Delightful talking to you and Kathy again, Mike. Hope to talk to you soon. Keep the faith, baby.
All right, sir.
Bye.
You too. All right. Thanks, Wally. We've missed Wally, didn't we? Huh? I wonder, a lot of people that, you know, kind of just because of circumstance, Roger Nagusta, our military attaché, Jesus, we haven't heard from Roger in a year. But he finally, you know, he got a job, I guess. There's so many people that listened to and participated in this program a lot when they were unemployed, you know, and now have jobs. 800-TALK, yes, is where we are. Sean, our active duty Army dude, is calling in from an undisclosed locale. Sean, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Hey, it's going.
Oh, I just was downtown at the old bookstore today, and I decided I'd throw a little bit of money in some of your cohort's pockets about Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection, and Thieves in High Places by Jim Hightower. I can't wait to delve into those.
Yeah, really.
And I just wanted to tell you that you've, once again, you know, there are many examples of it, but once again proven that the Bible is wrong. That if you live by the plowshare, you must certainly die by the sword, because Martin Luther King, Gandhi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah. Wanted to ask you about this situation, Republican fundraising coming out of
India,
being called out of India.
Right. Hey, hold on a second, Sean. Let me put you on hold because we have a break here. We want to dedicate this this little out music to Joe Scarborough. Stay with us.
Good news, tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
D.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate
not
me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why
me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Back to Sean, who's in the Army and calls in periodically. And that's not his name, and I'm not going to tell. Well, he already told us where he's calling from.
Yeah, Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, Augusta, Georgia.
I can say that. You know,
yeah,
I don't,
that's cool.
I don't think Ashcroft's got his ear to my phone quite yet, you know. But
right, yeah, but he's coming, Sean.
He's working on it. So would I get hung up on if I said mega dittos to you about the being armed thing?
Well, say anti-mega dittos.
Anti-mega dittos it is, then.
Yeah. About what?
About the being armed.
Yeah, it's a subject I just hate to...
I know. You've been saying you hate to talk about it.
I hate to get even close to it.
Thing of it is, I'd like to say to all the liberals out there, do you really want those crazy right-wing kooks to be the only ones with guns in the country when the defecation hits the rotary oscillator?
Right. I know.
It's kind of important to protect yourself from these idiots. Oh, God. I don't even want to get into it. But, yeah, about these Indians calling for Indians for Bush.
Yeah.
What is the deal?
Well, it's more outsourcing. It's sending even cheesy-ass little telemarketing jobs out of this country. American students could be doing this.
I used to call for several Democratic parties.
Yeah. People who are temporarily unemployed, let's hope it's temporary, could pick up these jobs. But no, because you can get them in India, where the going wage is probably, I'm just going to guess here, maybe 80 cents to a dollar an hour.
Yeah.
And even the newspaper in India said, you know, that it hopes, editorially speaking, it hopes that these young Indians who are doing these jobs can appreciate the irony of what they're doing.
Is there a link for this on the internet? I got to get this word out to all of my buddies on the.
Oh yeah, I will.
Network.
I will post the link to this story. It was sent by one of our listeners in Massachusetts, and I will put the link up tonight as we always do after the program. All right.
Excellent. I'd love to see that. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Sean. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Guns and Gandhi. David just sent this to me. Joe Scarborough was one of the rising stars of the Republican right. So rock-ribbed was his conservatism that he considered hard right hero Newt Gingrich too liberal and tried to oust him as Speaker of the House in 1997. Scarborough did. Chastened by this abortive attempt, Scarborough focused instead on tax cuts, military spending, Christian values. He co-sponsored the Ten Commandments Defense Act with California Democrat Gary Condit. And, of course, the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Meanwhile, he broadened his media appeal by appearing on Hollywood talk shows like Politically Incorrect and playing in a patriotic rock band with other Republican congressmen. Well, thanks, David. Yeah, I had completely forgotten, if I ever knew, that Scarborough and Gary Condit co-sponsored the Ten Commandments Defense Act, and then possibly both of them go murder their girlfriends. That's really cool, huh? That's really cool. Also, thank you, Dave, because I also forgot that Scarborough was the one who tried to kick Newt Gingrich's ass right out of his job as Speaker of the House, and Scarborough almost found himself on the outside of the tent pissing in, as Lyndon Johnson used to say. The Ten Commandments Defense Act. Co-sponsored it with Gary Condon. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Shelley is calling from Chicago. Hey, Shelley, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing. How about
I'm
you?
Doing, and you're doing.
Guess what? There's the music. We got to take a quick break. Can you hold on?
Sure.
All right. We'll come back in a second and talk with Shelley. And your calls. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
For the second year in a row, the White House wants to slash annual pay increases for civilian employees of the federal government. In a letter to congressional leaders on Wednesday, George W. Bush cited a national emergency as his reason for limiting raises for 1.2 million government employees to just 2%, rather than the usual 4.1%.
Federal employees are working class people by and large, and that extra money in their pocket is something they really need to put food on the table and buy clothes for their kids to go back to school and pay their mortgages and their car payments and what have you.
Jackie Simon is public policy director for the American Federation of Government Employees, the largest union of federal workers. She's worried not only about Bush's proposal to roll back pay raises, but also his proposal to set aside $500 million for a pay-for-performance system.
He's trying to create this slush fund with $500 million in it that will allow political appointees to hand out additional raises and bonuses to anybody they think is doing a good job with the president's political agenda.
A similar bid last year to roll back government employee raises was defeated in Congress.
A Dutch supermarket and retail store conglomerate already mired in a $1 billion accounting fraud scandal is now in serious trouble in the Czech Republic. State labor inspectors there have discovered that the Royal Ahold Company, which does business in the Czech Republic with its Hypernova and Albert stores, kept two sets of books on its workforce. One showed all workers were paid their rightful amounts for the hours they worked, but the other showed a regular and ongoing refusal to pay anyone for overtime. The inspectors say Ahold is but the worst of what is a common violation, estimated to affect 3 out of every 4 Czech workers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous.
Yeah, the
He's Mike Malloy.
Excuse me, Robin. The microphone makes me much more dangerous than any weapon I might have. We were just starting to talk with Shelley, who's called in from Chicago. Hey, Shelley, thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. You can say that I'm Shelley Drobny from Anshel Media.
Okay. Shelley Drobny from Anshel Media, whose name, along with his wife's and John Sin's, been all over every piece of media in the country for the past... 6-8 months. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I love you, Mike. Okay. I want you to know that.
Oh, sweet.
In spite of the fact that Kathy is your producer and your wife, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate what you've done for us and how much I enjoy your passion and
spirit.
I mean, you're a great guy and you've helped us a great deal. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make this liberal talk radio network work, including you.
Absolutely. That
okay.
sounds great.
I just want you to know that. I mean, you know, and all your listeners that, you know, you're the guy that I first contacted when we had this idea, and you're an unsung hero, and I just want you to know that, okay?
Well, thanks, Shelley. It's very kind of you to say that. I do appreciate the kind words. But what you're really called about...
What I really called about was Mel Gibson.
Now, the audience should know you're Jewish.
Oh, of course. Well, you know, I don't hide that. Okay.
Right. But I mean, because you want to talk about Mel Gibson and his, I guess, his family and his position on Jews and Jesus.
Right, right. And I'm not a fundamentalist Jew. I want you to know that. Okay?
Right, yeah.
But as you may or may not know, we endowed the University of Illinois with a Jewish history and cultural studies program.
Yeah, I'm real aware of that. Right.
We are all, you know, Jews, Christians, Muslims are all. We have a heritage that comes from the Old Testament, okay? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to clarify something about scripture historicized.
All right.
Okay? You know, and I don't want to be too, sophisticated, but scripture is not history, and we all should know that. If we don't know it, I want to make it very clear as a Jewish person, one who is... supported the study of Jewish history and not Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that scripture is history is patently absurd, and I just want everybody to know that because it's written in the New Testament, and I've read the New Testament, I'm one of the few Jews who have,
mm-hmm.
and written a lot of articles about it and also read a lot of things about the New Testament from Christian scholars. We must understand that the Gospels according to John or the Gospels according to anybody is not history.
And right, exactly.
When we talk about a conspiracy of the Jewish hierarchy and priests, that is only mentioned in the Gospel, and it doesn't reflect true history. I mean, if anybody believes that Scripture is history, I mean, I got a bridge to sell them. in addition to that, I will tell you about the Old Testament, which is, of course, the Jewish Bible. We, as Jews, most of us know that it shouldn't be literally interpreted. As a matter of fact, for 400 years in the rabbinic period, which is, in the era of, from the birth of Jesus to 400 A.D., the debates about what the Bible really meant is something that's overlooked by fundamentalists, especially Christian fundamentalists, who really don't understand that Jews don't believe literally in the Bible. They
right.
argue about what the Bible really means. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Old Testament, it's kind of a horror story about how God, you know, kind of strikes down at everybody, couldn't make up his mind whether they liked humans or not, and you know, we understand it's more symbolic in parables than it is history.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
And the problem is that the condemnation of the Jews in the New Testament is not history either. I mean, nobody really knows what happened with regard to Jesus, with regard to Pontius Pilate, who is sort of portrayed in the New Testament as really a righteous dictator who says, gee, I see no fault with this man. He's a nice guy. And the Jews say, kill him.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, and that's not history. And I'm hopeful that you know, people in the know and rational people will not believe in the fundamentalist aspect of either the Old Testament or the New Testament.
But, Shelley, you're enough of a realist to understand what's going on in this country. When you have, in the latest poll, two polls that freaked me out in the past couple of weeks. First, that in the 70s, let's say 72% of Americans polled by a reputable polling agency believed in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, whereas only 20-something, let's pick a number, 26% believed in Darwin's theories of evolution and natural selection. Now, that's the first bad one. The second bad one is the one I quoted tonight, conducted by USA Today CNN Gallup, and that was 77% of Americans polled by them said that they could see nothing wrong with the this graven image of the Ten Commandments sitting in the state building over in Alabama. And only 16% who were surveyed said, yeah, we think it should go. Being a man like yourself who understands to a greater degree than the average person, because, again, going back to your endowment of the chair at the University of Illinois in Jewish Studies, you also must understand what's going on in this country. There is a reject. Carl Sagan warned about this in his last book before he died, about this idea that people in this country, he was addressing his own society, are turning away from science, are turning away from reality, and turning more towards mysticism and religion and whatever you want to call it, the occult world, finding their answers there. That does not bode well for any society, unless it's back in the 8th century. I guess they managed to do fine in 7-something, but it doesn't bode well for a society in the the beginning of the 21st century. So I think you understand that Mel Gibson's movie, when it comes out, is going to inflame people. I don't care. You know what Vatican II said, this Catholic absolving the Jews of responsibility. Mel Gibson is a member or an affiliate of this radical or reactionary Catholic movement that says no, the Mass should be in Latin. The Jews were irresponsible. We believe that Mary is literally the mother of God. Facing that, Shelley, you know that this country is...
Well, we're in trouble living with a fable. And, you know, if I had enough time, I could tell you about the reasons why those things are believed. And,
sure.
And not treated as symbolic in a Talmudic way. And I mean Talmudic in the sense that, well, God certainly couldn't have meant this or that or whatever. What does it really mean? And I think that fundamentalist Christians are as dangerous as Muslim fundamentalists or anybody else.
Oh, right.
They're all on the same side of the same fable, which is, you know, that this unproven, invisible God who really doesn't...
I've said that many times on this program. You know, you show me a fundamentalist and then arm that fundamentalist, especially if it's a fundamentalist like, I'm sorry, but Muslims, Christians, and Hindus, and you've got a very dangerous person on your hands. They will kill you. They will blow up your house, blow up your train, butcher your family, all in the name of God, I guess. It's really...
Yeah. Well, I want everybody to know that even Orthodox Jews, and I'm not talking about Israel right or wrong Jews, I'm talking about Orthodox Jews who really understand the great sage Maimonides, who was a philosopher, and the Talmudic period, truly understand that the Bible is a very symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, is symbolic and represents a kind of a story of human nature that should be studied from the standpoint of what we can learn from human nature. And I think that is truly misunderstood by not only Christian fundamentalists, but, you know, the writings of the New Testament, which were really a political statement that was addressed to Rome. How could they possibly convert the Roman Empire and yet consider them responsible for the death of Jesus? So the death of Jesus is certainly attributed to not Pontius Pilate, who was a really terrific guy. It was attributed to the Jews. So, you know, I really am trying. The whole aspect of trying to understand Jewish culture is that we, you know, we sort of stand on the shoulders of a heritage, and the heritage of Christians is Jewish. And the Jews don't believe literally, you know, I'm talking about, they believe that the Bible is interpretive and are parables and
sure.
subject to great debate. And I wish Christians of either the fundamentalist mode or others would realize that Jews understand that the teachings of the Old Testament are based upon a really very interpretive and debatable aspect. And if they're taken literally, they become very dangerous.
An eye
for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, all this other stuff. It's very symbolic, and it really is not meant to be taken literal. And I can tell you that from great authority because, obviously, that's the purpose of what we're trying to do, to teach, you know, both Christians and Jews, because most of our students in the University of Illinois are not Jews, they're Christians.
Right.
And that the Old Testament heritage is based upon an interpretive, debatable,
right.
parable story of the biblical authors and not the hand of God, you know, so to speak. And you know, again, I just wanted to, you know, let people know that. One other thing, and I don't mean to take up your time.
Okay.
You and I have been working together and trying to, you know, help each other in the last several months. And I just want you to know that, you know, the limousine liberals who say that they're really supportive of, you know, getting the right wing intact and creating a competitive liberal network of which we have put up several $1 million already, they are among the greatest phonies I have ever met in my life. Okay,
yeah.
This whole Hollywood crowd that complains the most about, oh my God, Barbara Streisand and all these people, they will not put up a dime unless it puts them on the stage. And I have to tell you, and I don't mean to, you know, create a feeling of whatever it is about the fact that, you know, liberals are supposed to be this and that. We're our own worst enemies, and I have the inside track on this because I've been involved in this business now for a year and a half, and they are so involved with themselves, they do not want to give a dime to what we're doing.
It's really a shame. This network, IE America Radio Network, has basically had the same problem, not from a standpoint of raising money, which is what Anshel is trying to do.
We put up the first $10 million, and I have to tell you, we need lots more than that.
Sure.
But, you know, it is sort of like, okay, it's all about ego. It's all about, you know, what's in it for me. And the greed that we and financial subterfuge is not, it crosses all political lines. It has nothing to do with right wing, left wing. They're all the same. Rich people just want to do things based upon their own ego. And that's the greatest lesson that I've learned about this whole project of really, you know, genuinely trying to get some traction and moving forward. You know, we are getting funding, but I got to tell you, it's not from the so-called Hollywood billionaires who constantly complain about the fact that they're getting targeted, but won't put up a dime.
I know, it's hell. Hell. It's hell, Shelley. I understand. Hey, listen, thank you for calling.
Okay, take care. Bye.
You have a nice evening. Yeah, put your money where your mouth is, huh? I agree with Shelley. Liberals, especially wealthy liberals. I remember back in the day when Stuart Mott, does anybody remember that name? Was a wealthy underwriter of liberal causes occasionally. And the pleas would come in. I'm not knocking the Mott Family Foundation, of which Stuart was, he was the youngest or younger member of that family. And a lot of liberal causes in the 70s, in the early 70s, went begging for money because they just couldn't get any support. And I can remember a couple of personal experiences with that foundation. With a radical left newspaper I was writing for here in Atlanta, and the door was just slammed shut. Shelley's right. Liberals bitch and whine and moan and complain about the unfairness of it all. But where's the response in bucks? This is America, okay? It takes money. It takes money, and this has been it's been a biggest complaint of mine. I listened to all the whining and the gnashing of teeth about the Limbaughs and the Fox Network and so on and so forth. But what have the wealthy liberals, and there are some, what have they done? What have they done to offset this tidal wave of garbage that has swept across this country back and forth, coast to coast, border to border for the past 12 years in terms of talk radio and now in terms of talk television? What have they done? Where's Ted Turner? Where's Bill Gates? Where are these people? Where are these multi-millionaires, the billionaires? Where are they? Where are these so-called conservative liberals? You know what I'm talking about. Conservative Democrats, liberals. Where are they? Where's their checkbooks? And so you have people like me or Tom Hartman or, I don't know, whoever you want to mention, Shelley Drobny, IE America Radio Network, struggling. Every single day it's a struggle. Guy James, the guy's going to be substituting for me in a week or so when I'm on vacation. Struggle, a constant struggle. Trying to stay on the air, trying to keep getting the message out. This is America 2000, what's the year, Kathy? 2003, Jesus. This is America 2003. Money talks, you know what walks. Or is that, I got it backwards. I don't know, something like that. I just sound like I'm whining, and I do apologize, but Shelley makes a good point, and it's been a point that has irritated me for a long time. It almost makes me want to become a libertarian or a green or I don't know, a Martian or a dog catcher or something other than what I'm cursed with. I am cursed with being a working-class, blue-collar Democrat. Jesus, this is a heavy burden to carry. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. If you ain't got the dough, right, me. Maybe you want a house or a farm. Not do nobody no harm. Just take your vacations by the mountains or the sea. Don't sell that old cow for a car. You might want to stay right where you are. Take a little advice from me. 'Cause I read the one ads every day. The voices in the paper always say, if you ain't got the dough, ray me. Boy, if you ain't got the dough, ray me. You better go back to your beautiful Texas.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. I vote for the Democratic Party. They want the UN to be strong.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
And I'll send all the money you ask for. But don't ask me to come on along.
Teddy mailed in, I think the Sagan book was called The Demon Haunted World. That was it. Great title, as Ted says. The last book that Sagan wrote where he warned against, well, you know what he warned against. Where are we here? Scott is calling from Boise, Idaho. Scott, welcome to the program.
Sir Mike the Brave, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Hey, you're hitting all the bases tonight.
Bingo, 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 huh?
Yeah, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Yes, sir.
Hey, long as you're on guns, Iraq.ru is a website I pay close attention to. They do a good job of gathering articles. I think it was something from The Guardian. All the AK-47s, the Kalashnikovs that U.S. troops are confiscating over there, they want to use because the M-16s won't even shoot.
Yeah, too much sand in the gears.
Right. It jams them up. Same thing as in the Vietnam War. I can remember watching them bury them in the mud. They'd take them out. They couldn't get shells to go through them. So not only are they complaining about boots and having to do their own laundry, but they won't even put a gun in their hands that'll shoot.
Isn't that nice?
Terrible, terrible. Hey,
of course, the answer is to get them the hell out of there.
Of course.
Yeah. Do I hear crickets? Are you outside?
I'm close to outside in my garage. I got to listen to you on Sirius in my wife's car.
Oh. Well, at least the crickets are working overtime in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we went to the big fair here the other night. The loneliest guy there was an Army recruiter.
Yeah.
There was nobody standing there.
Gee, that's a surprise.
Yeah. I was also very taken by the fact that it was such a small effort. No big posters, no hard sell. They weren't hitting on 13-year-olds like we usually do, just one forlorn-looking dude standing there with nobody talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think big question in my mind, Mike, and I'll leave you with this, is how is this war going to end? I mean, what on the ground is going to make this stop?
I know.
And in my opinion, it's going to be the troops, just like it was in Vietnam.
I think so.
BlackCommentator.com, another website I pay a lot of attention to. I learn something every time I go there.
Yes, good site.
The black troops were the ones that said no. The military took that demographic, spread it out, made sure that that wouldn't happen again. But there's other demographics that are cutting crossways through our troops, a lot of them National Guardsmen. Somewhere along the way, they're going to get tired of this, and they're going to put a stop to it.
I think you're right. Scott, good to hear from you, Paul.
Okay, thanks,
all right,
Buck.
Take care. Program engineered in Detroit by Jay Balicki tonight. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com, our webmaster. Thank you, Mark. And to Jim, our Arkansas Music Bureau Chief, thank you, sir. Have a safe Labor Day. We'll be back Tuesday, I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Mm-hmm. Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart. You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.